Well, this evening, my subject is my never again list. My never again list. I'm just wondering, are you the type of person that would make a list? In my own mind, there's something very satisfying about making a list and then striking off the items on that list. You know, we went down to Lee Valley there one time and we got some of those earthen magnets. And you put that list on your fridge door. You just about have to take the door off to get the list off. But regardless, I don't know what, maybe you use your phone here, techie, and you have everything in your notes. But there's something about lists and being able to strike items off a list. I love it when I get in the car or whatever and I got five places to go to, and it makes me happy. But tonight I want to speak to you about my never again list. There's things in our lives that we do now and again, and you say to yourself, I'll never do that again. A carpenter with his hammer, he hits the wrong nail, his fingernail, and he says, I will never do that again. As Christians, there's many times that we will say, never again will I make that mistake again. You know, I was at a funeral one day, and I said to myself, Steve, when you go into that funeral, don't say to the person who just lost his mom, how are you doing? I mean, how do you think he's doing? What did I do? I went into the funeral, hello, so-and-so, how are you doing? And then I'm like, that should have been on my never again list. I shouldn't have done that. I felt so bad. The guy was, he just lost his mom. So we in life, we do things, we say things, we do things we wish we didn't do. And sometimes we really beat ourselves up about it. Don't be too hard on yourself. Reflect on days gone by when, with God's help, you were able to stop doing something over and over again. When you start over, do it with God's help and get focused again on life and the situation at hand. You know, the verses that I'm going to read to you tonight, I haven't always clung to them. And please don't think that I've got everything together, because I don't. And I know as soon as I finish this message, there's a really good chance that God is going to test me on what I've said to you tonight. Okay? So I'm going to be totally transparent with you, and pray for me, because I'm going to need God's help. Life is a journey, and lots of times it's a very bumpy one. There's a lot of gravel, and there's a lot of potholes. And I have a lot to learn and relearn as I depend on God. As I prepared this message, I was truly blessed and encouraged in the truth of Scriptures, though. And that is my heart's desire for you, that you will be encouraged and blessed. Let's look first then in Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. Philippians 4, verse 13. Many years ago, Dave Richards was speaking to us, and he took the book of Philippians, and he broke down the four chapters, and he gave these headings. Chapter 1, verse 21, Christ our life. Chapter 2, verse 5, Christ our mind. Chapter 3, verse 10, Christ our goal. Chapter 4, verse 13, Christ our strength. So here we're going to read Philippians 4 and verse 13. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. In this verse, I want to break it into two sections. I want, firstly, to look at the thought of never again will I confess I can't. And eventually we'll get to the second one, never again will I confess weakness. So the first one, never again will I confess I can't. The little word all is found 26 times in the book of Philippians. The word all is very important. It is used significantly in this epistle in a way not found anywhere else in Paul's writings. This verse is not saying that I can do some things. As we live our lives and move in the will of God, God will provide all the strength necessary to do the things that we are to do. But it is imperative that we move in the will of God in all aspects of our lives. That's very important to realize that it is imperative to move in the will of God. If you move outside of the will of God, there is a really good chance that you're going to say, I can't. Even when you're in the will of God, there will be days when you will say, I can't. Proverbs 3:5-6, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct our paths. And yet, there are many times when things start out so well. And then the trials, doubts, fears, they come in. How do I get through it all? How do I get from the point of saying I can't to fully believing I can and I will? It has been said that great trials often precede great triumphs. How do I move that situation from the trial column to the triumphant column? I know a lot of you are into spreadsheets. How do I do that? Trial to triumph. How do I move from failure to a success? How do I get from having a burden to a blessing? Prayerfully move in the will of God. As I was thinking this over, I was reminded of a missionary report that I heard many years ago. I don't remember the brother's name, but he and his entire family, they moved to Russia. After they arrived in Russia, things were not going very well. In fact, after they arrived in Russia, they were all sitting on their beds in their hotel rooms looking at each other. And in my mind, I have a kind of a word picture there. They're maybe sitting there holding their head in their hands, looking at each other. They thought that they were in the will of God. Silently, their son stood up and walked over to his guitar case. He took his guitar out and softly he started to play and sing, "What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer." How about this verse? It's so well known to us. Have we trials and temptations? Father, you know what they are. Is there trouble anywhere? Yes, there is. We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrow share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. I believe that ultimately that was the turning point in their stay in Russia. I can't, but with God's help, we will. I have come to the conclusion, more so now than ever in my life, that when we are brought into situations, the only thing we can do is pray. My hands are tied, but my lips are not. There is nothing I can do except pray. The next item on the list then is the second part. Never again will I confess weakness. The Christ who strengthens me. We must, like Paul did, lose ourselves in Christ, to be immersed in Christ. As I mentioned early in the outline, Christ our life, Philippians 1:21. For me to live is who? It's Christ. And to die is gain. Christ our life. We can go on only by the wondrous grace and strength that comes from Christ. I think of the words of Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, not yet I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, oh, the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. We need strength to help us with our weakness. The one who gives us the strength to do all things is the Christ that strengthens us. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 9, and he said unto me, my grace. What kind of grace was that? That was the grace that'll never run out. You know, I was listening today in the news about the crisis in Russia and the Ukraine, and one of the big factors is the amount of gas and oil that Russia has. And in parts of the world, there is a great fear that it's possible that they will not get any of Russia's fuel, gas, and oil. I was thinking about that. This kind of grace here, boy, it's got a big storage tank. It'll never, ever, ever run out. My grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. When we are weak, when we can't get it done, when we can't go on, he says you will and you can by his strength. The word strength means to empower or enable. It is only Christ that provides the strength. He is the only omnipotent one. Psalm 27 verse 1 says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Verse 14 of the same psalm says, wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. We leave the psalms, and we go to Isaiah 41 and 10. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. You know, that is the ESV version of that verse. And I looked at a couple different ones. There is no question in Scripture that the right hand is very, very important. I mean, make a study of it. And this verse is telling me that the righteous right hand of God is going to hold me. That's great. I love that. I don't need to be dismayed. I don't need to be surprised. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. We know that this promise of strength is true and reliable because of Hebrews 13, verse 8. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. Somebody wrote a poem on that verse. It's called Sure Comfort. And this is how it goes. It's based on Hebrews 13, 8. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. Yesterday, he heard my cry. When for his aid I sought, he answered me abundantly. And sure deliverance brought. Today, his promise is the same. He is sufficient still. Whatever I ask in his dear name, he's surely to fulfill. Tomorrow I can trust to him, for he has bidden me to cast on him my every care, nor ever anxious be. Forevermore his word is fixed, his own he cannot fail. Abiding, I have rest and peace. I know faith will prevail. Let's move to the next one. 1 Peter 5:7. Well-known verse. Casting, how many of your cares? All your care upon him, for he careth for you. The thought here is, never again will I confess worries and frustrations. In Christ, I can live a carefree life. Never again will I confess worries and frustrations. In Christ, I can live a carefree life. That doesn't mean you're going to be reckless. It's through Christ that you can live. Your cares are on him. Notice the word all is used again. What does this verse mean? It means that we are to throw or cast every anxious care upon God because it really matters to him. He will do the heavy lifting in our lives. You don't have to bear the burden. Give it to God. This isn't something new for God to do. He's been doing it for centuries for all Christians. During the pandemic, there have been many words that have become extremely popular. One of which, I can hardly bear to say it because it's been said so many times. One of which is unprecedented. What does that mean? The word means never done or known before. Let's put a positive spin on it, though. The word unprecedented cannot be used in relation to God. The word means never done or known before. God does not have a day that is unprecedented. It's just not going to happen. There is not a day that he goes by that he does not know what your care or burden is. In fact, he allowed the care or burden to come your way. Nothing is going to take God by surprise. Psalm 55:22, cast thy burden upon the Lord and he shall sustain thee. Do you remember Miss Worrell? Many years ago, she was in the assembly. My wife is smiling. I will never forget this dear old lady, how she would say that. Sustain, I mean, her pronunciation of sustain, it was incredible. But what was that? It was an abiding faith in God. She could hardly walk, but she would say, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. It was with so much emphasis. I mean, that was real in her life. What does that mean? He's going to maintain you. The rest of the verse, he shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. The moved there, the word moved, it implies to slip, shake, fall. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Sarah Young, the author of Jesus Calling, which is a daily devotion, writes, as you anticipate what is ahead of you, you forget that I am with you now and always. Rehearsing your troubles results in experiencing them many times, whereas you are meant to go through them only when they actually occur. Do not multiply your suffering in this way. Instead, come to me and relax in my peace. I thought a lot about that quote because, you know, I have never been in a play, but I sure do a lot of rehearsing. What about you? Do you do a lot of rehearsing about that issue, that problem? You try to figure out how it's going to work its way out? We don't have to do that. We don't need to rehearse it. We come to God. We leave it there, and we relax in His peace. Just yesterday, I was reading in a devotional, and my wife, when she, first thing in the morning, she says to me, "Steve, it's time to go fishing." I'm like, okay. Never been a big ice fisher, but anyway, she said, you'll get it when you do your devotions. So the author said, the next time you feel anxiety raising it up in your heart, try this little exercise. Imagine yourself in a boat or standing on a pier, fishing pole in hand. Now bait the line with whatever is bothering you. Take this passage from 1 Peter 5:7, and in your own words, perhaps say something like this. Father, I want to cast this problem on you because you care about what happens to me. Then picture yourself casting out the line, watching as it is swallowed up in the sea of God's love, casting all your cares upon Him because He cares for you. You know, when I was a kid and my dad took me fishing, I think one of my greatest pleasures was to see how far I could cast the line. I never cast like this because it would only go, I mean, that's more like chopping wood. That's not casting. But some days, you know, you could just get that right angle with the right amount of weight. There was no wind, and you could just let it rip. And it would go, I mean, who cares if you caught a fish? Dad, look how far I cast the line. Well, that's great, Steve. Are there any fish on that? No, there's no fish. But isn't that, I like that. And I started to think about this today. And I got out in some reference books and so on, and I started to look. And it is amazing how many times the word sea is in the Bible. I mean, it's incredible. Job 9, Job acknowledges God's justice. He talks about the mountains, the earth being shaken, the sun and the stars. And then in verse 8, Job says, which alone spreadeth out the heavens and treadeth upon the waves of the sea. Well, the Lord Jesus walked on the sea. I never had been able to link that before. And then I started digging around a bit more. The way is in the sea, and thy way is in the sea, and thy path is in great waters, and thy footsteps are not known. Walks across the sea, and there's no footsteps. You know, I don't know about you. I'm going to have to stop here right away. But this is a really good analogy. The writer of that little devotional, he had it together. He really did. That is a really good way. I mean, that's what the meaning of the verse is to cast our cares onto Him. The one who walks on water, and I say this respectfully, the one who walks on water can catch any problem. When it's cast into the water, an all-present God can catch that problem. There's confidence there. He's telling me what to do. I do it. I cast that problem unto him. Well, I got to close. Hubby, if we do it with a little quote from J. Sidlow Baxter. In this verse, 1 Peter 5 and 7, he points out that there's two kinds of care. There's the anxious care in the words, casting all your care upon him. The anxious care, casting it onto him. And there is affectionate care in the words, he cares for you. Over against all of our anxious care is our Savior's never-failing affectionate care. There was another one that I was going to look at, but it's already after 8 o'clock. I just hope that these words that I've spoken, I so encourage this study, the opportunity that I had to look into scriptures and just to realize that the Lord's coming. Hold the faith. Keep trusting. Keep praying. Keep abiding in this book. We're going to be forever in his presence. And he's promised to walk with us. You know, I was going to say that. As a child, I came to know Christ as my Savior. What a relationship I got into. A free relationship by the grace of God. But I was forever linked with heaven and with a God who loves me and cares for me. And the same for you. Let's pray. Father, we